Security breaches in government and the private sector show that no network is completely safe. Now, with funding from the State Department and USAID, the New America Foundation is promoting the idea of what it calls mesh networks, small home-built communication systems that don't rely on the Internet with its security baggage. Sasha Meinrath is the founder of the Open Technology Institute at the New America Foundation. He says the networks can support things like phone service, file sharing, and instant messaging.
So these are usually local or regional networks. Think of them in terms of most offices. They'll create a local area network, and you'll share a printer or maybe a file server, things of that sort, within that office or that office building. This is the same thing, but instead of being in an office, it's maybe in a home or amongst a group of homes in a street or throughout a community or even a city.
Okay, and so these have a security implication also, correct?
Absolutely. Unlike a lot of other systems, you have the ability to also secure communications within that network. And we have sort of baseline security built into this system. In essence, that one has to be within that local network in order to surveil that communication. In much the same way that if I pick up the phone and call my colleague down the hall in my office, the only way to actually surveil those communications is to be in that office at the time that that phone call is happening.
And so is this something for use by federal agencies, by neighborhoods? Can it be used in rich countries as well as in less developed areas?
Yeah, it's a general use technology, so it can be used for example, disaster response when existing telecommunications infrastructure may be down. It can be used for local area communications for everything from gaming to creating alternate infrastructure to sharing existing communications infrastructure, i.e. if you have bandwidth at one point on that network, you can provide connectivity to other folks that might not be able to access that bandwidth otherwise. And of course, this is as a general use technology, this is incredibly helpful both here in the United States but also around the globe. Our overarching vision is really free, safe, ubiquitous communications for everyone on the planet.
Now, I remember a few years ago there was somebody from MIT running around talking about the $100 laptop and so forth, and I think that's been superseded by a lot of technologies. But it sounds like this is something State Department or USAID could use as a community-building outreach tool in less developed areas or areas that might have been hit by disaster. So how do you see that working?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a technology that is as useful in a refugee camp as it is in the Amazon, as it is, amongst nomadic tribes of Bedouins. It's a technology that enables people to interconnect with one another and to swap information, to share media, and also to share connectivity if it's available. What's interesting is that unlike a lot of other systems, this technology allows you to build a standalone infrastructure. So if outside connectivity to the wider internet is available, you can share that. But even if that is not available, you can still have local communications within that local network, regardless of outside internet connectivity existing.
So what does it take? What does it consist of in terms of technology? You need a server, you need power. What do you need to technically build it?
So the Commotion Wireless Project is software. And it's software that runs on a variety of different hardware platforms. And this might be a cell phone, it might be a laptop, it might be a Wi-Fi router, the type that exists in your homes right now today. And the idea is really that as software, it's built to reuse whatever hardware happens to be available where you are. And so we've done implementations in India where there's a bunch of equipment that people had laying around. We've done it in Tunisia. We've done it in Detroit and New York City. It is, in essence, a software application that runs on whatever you happen to have available.
So it could also be an app on a smartphone.
In fact, it is an app on a smartphone.
And is it available, publicly at this point? Is it something I could get in one of the app stores?
I believe for certain cell phones, correct. You can download it from the App Store. You can also get it from the commotionwireless.net website, and it's freely available. Anyone can download it. It's also fully open source. So we're hoping that many eyes on the technology will also help us to figure out what feature sets should be put in, identify any bugs that may still exist in the software, et cetera.
We're speaking with Sasha Meinrath. He's director of the X Lab at the New America Foundation. And so what prompted this? In other words, how did you begin? How did this idea come about in the first place?
So the Commotion Wireless project grew out of, in essence, a project that I'd begun 14 years ago in my living room, where I'd asked a number of friends, super geeks in town, to get together. And I'd offered them kind of beer and pizza for a bit of their time to think about how we could build a local communications infrastructure. And the rationale behind this is that I was part of a group of people that were doing a lot of media production with first early generation consumer digital products, the old mini disc recorders and first generation digital cameras that were out at that point in time. And felt that there was no good mechanism. This is in an era before broadband. So we needed a way that we could swap this information throughout the local community. Now, I'd been involved with my community radio station and kind of understood the power of local communications. I, in my technological naivete at that time, had thought, well, this is a great summer project. It actually turned into a 14-year, multi-million-dollar research and development effort. But today we're seeing the culmination of that work. We've just released a version 1.0 of the software. It's now we're seeing a lot of uptake all around the globe of people downloading the software and beginning to experiment with it and deploy it in various locations. And, you know, when I look back on that history, I see it growing from kind of just a vision, an initial idea of what might be possible to something that's now being implemented in countries all around the globe.
And so now you are seeing State Department and USAID money behind this to further it?
Yes, correct. So it's an amalgam. The first several years was paid out of my own pocket, and we're, of course, a long distance from that today. But now we have funding from folks like Radio Free Asia, the USAID, State Department, as well as private foundations, Knight Foundation, Ford Foundation, the Open Society Foundations. And it's sort of because it's sort of an open source project, as long as there's not strings attached to that funding, we're happy to have additional support to develop this product.
So it sounds like something that can be used to protect, say, United States communications from spies, but also to protect other communications, if people so desire, from United States spying.
Absolutely. It's a general use technology usable by anyone that wants to help secure their communications and wants to communicate locally and wants to put services and applications onto a network that they themselves manage, own, operate, etc.
Now, the New York Times reported that the USAID would like to sort of get this into Cuba so that people could start indigenous networks there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like an advantage when I'm thinking of the Alan Gross case. He was physically on the ground handing out satellite phones and got nabbed and is still in jail now after several years in Cuba. This sounds like something that could be downloaded by Cubans themselves without any hands-on or physical intervention by a person that would need to be there to do this.
Correct. In fact, we have built Commotion construction kits specifically in order that people can self-provision these networks. Our focus is solely on empowering individuals, empowering communities, giving them tools to self-provision resources, networking capabilities that meet their own needs. And that is, in essence, a universal application of the technology. It's as useful in Cuba as it is anywhere else on the planet.
And at the opposite end of the spectrum, in a big federal bureaucracy where everything is massively scaled and costs $1 billion to do every project, how do you see this fitting in there?
Well, it is incredible in that so many of the most disruptive technologies are relatively modest in terms of their overall costs, and this is certainly one of them. It is very much the case that a business model or a technology that would cost thousands upon thousands of dollars is simply beyond the reach of the ordinary Cuban or the ordinary person that's one of the 5 billion people that are yet to be connected online. So what we see is this is a mechanism, a means by which we can actually bring connectivity to the 5 billion people on the planet that have yet to really meaningfully participate in the global digital public sphere.
And it sounds like something that, say, a FEMA or an Army platoon or a group like that could deploy in an ad hoc basis in an emergency or battle situation
Absolutely.
Without having to bring in all the heavy, I mean, the Army used to bring in truckloads of stuff just to be able to talk, you know, within a battle situation.
Absolutely. And in fact, after Hurricane Katrina, we were implementing early generations of these technologies to help bring communications up at times even for FEMA outposts, because this was the only thing that was working in those spaces at those times. And we built a fairly massive network using, again, early generations of these technologies in order to provide communications during one of the biggest natural disasters we've had in recent memory.
And so do you need to have the cellular network, the commercial cellular network up and running, or Wi-Fi, or can the devices like a smartphone, because they have radios in them, generate the beginning step of the connectivity that you need?
Yes, you can build these networks out of the devices themselves. There doesn't need to be any outside infrastructure available. Of course, if the existing cellular infrastructure is available, that's just an added benefit, an added service or application that can be integrated into a Commotion wireless mesh.
And so where can people go to get this application? To whom is it authorized to be downloaded?
Anyone can download it. It's freely available. It's fully open source, and you can download it right from the project webpage, which is commotionwireless.net.